Good evening, and welcome to the Solari Report. Today is March 24th, 2011. I'm Catherine Alston Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Tonight, Dr. Gwen Scott on how to mitigate the health effects of aerosol spraying. But first, latest news and money in markets, some questions and ask Catherine. And let's go to the movies after we talk with Dr. Scott, a review of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, a movie I watched suggested by a very smart subscriber. Last week, following the Solari Report, we did a special with Dr. Laura Thompson of the Southern California Institute of Nutrition on how to protect yourself against radiation. There were so many very specific recommendations and details in that. We made a transcript. You can access it in the archives next to last week in your control panel. And I really recommend that to you if you didn't get a chance to hear it. I think the transcript will help. Our theme tonight is spring is here. I used to go to Quaker Meeting in Philadelphia because I went to a Quaker day school. And on the first day of spring, we'd go to meeting, and there'd be one of the elders who would sit up and say, "Spring is here." And, you know, if I was still at Quaker Meeting and she was still alive, that's exactly what would have happened this week. I'm watching the almond and the fig and the lemon trees blossom, and about 2001 I planted a cherry weeping willow tree that's blossoming. It's quite beautiful, and it very much reminds me of one of my favorite poems Wordsworth wrote in Tintern Abbey. I just wanted to read it to you. He said, "This prayer I make, knowing that nature never did betray the heart that loved her. Tis her privilege through all the years of this our life to lead from joy to joy, for she can so inform the mind that is within us, so impress with quietness and beauty, and so feed with lofty thoughts that neither evil tongues, rash judgments, nor the sneers of selfish men, nor greetings where no kindness is, nor all the dreary intercourse of daily life shall e'er prevail against us, or disturb our cheerful faith that all that which we behold is full of blessings." That's Wordsworth from Tintern Abbey. And what we're seeing all across North America is the Mother Earth is pushing back, and it's so much more powerful than all the evil in the world, which is certainly ascendant right now. One of the reasons I have so much faith in my scenario, the slow burn, is that the Earth generates such an enormous amount of new wealth each year with the harvest. It's quite incredible, and what permaculture and biodynamic farming and other techniques have taught us is that if we worked in harmony with Mother Nature, you know, the capacity to harvest that is even so much more. And so despite the wealth that gets stolen every year, more and more gets created, and it's just a huge and magnificent gift. So it's spring, and here it comes, and it's a good time to enjoy it. Money and markets. The covert and overt wars keep filling the headlines. I told you last week, someone called me and he said, "Do you think there's any danger of World War III?" And I said, "It's already underway. It's just quite invisible." What that means for all of us, and as I talked about in the year-end wrap-up in January, the unknowns and uncertainty is greater and greater. Many markets and situations could shift quickly and significantly, even violently. And it's just the volatile environment that we're managing, and I think that's going to continue. Of course, we continue to watch Japan, very important. Every sign that disaster capitalism is having a field day. We saw PIMCO buying up portfolios at Toyota Motor Credit. Exxon is fixing refineries. Indeed, this is going to be fantastic for oil and gas globally as the nuclear industry is on, you know, now stalling or in question in country after country. The stock market patterns look like a dump and pump. They dropped, and with unprecedented liquidity has come back. G7 is now engineering the new, you know, the next QE3 by literally intervening globally to defend the dollar. What we're watching, really, somebody wrote on the blogosphere this week, you know, Ben's off the hook because G7's basically doing QE3 for him. It very much looks in Japan like the patterns of what we saw in East Asia when we got the financial crash in 97, which was a real field day for the hedge funds and a variety of players picking up equity positions. But it's still too early to tell. I think a lot will emerge. My guess is that this is going to turn out to be net good for the U.S. and the Pacific region. Increased Japanese independence was the greatest risk to the empire. It's just still hard to tell because what could happen still with a radioactive fallout, both physically and financially, is it's still a real wild card. Please keep your prayers coming for the Fukushima 50. We're not out of the woods yet, and what that group of people are doing is quite extraordinary. In the Middle East, Iraq has announced it's building 50 new power plants. The story's up on the blog. Lots of contracts for North American and European corporations totaling $6.5 billion. I'm sure that will pick up a lot of the pain coming out of the Japanese situation. Obviously, the notion that the empire is withdrawing anyone from Iraq is silly. As that headline underscores, more reports from all across the Middle East about political turmoil, but of course the big focus now is on Northern Africa, Libya. I almost, when I put the story about Libya up on the blog, and there's a big one about their precious metal holdings, I almost made the title, and you thought you were worried about confiscation. Libya has 143 tons of gold, in addition to having amazing oil stores and water. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens if we do get a shift of government out of Gaddafi's hands, and that 143 tons is now available to be leased or even confiscated. Let's see what happens. The tensions went up this afternoon when the Chinese called for an immediate ceasefire. They had withheld, or they had abstained from voting in the Security Council. So this is a little bit of a notch up. I've said before, I had a partner on Wall Street who used to say, when the market started to move, the ducks are squawking, I must feed them. Wherever you look, whether it's disaster capitalism in Japan, the war in Libya, contracts in Iraq, what we're seeing is corporate infrastructure that needs more and more food to feed the hungry belly. And you know, when somebody's hungry and they have a lot of guns, then this is the kind of thing that happens. It's going to be happening in the U.S. The sort of the rape is getting teed up for state and local government, and a lot of that is now off the headlines with the war in Libya and events in Japan. We can score one for the good guys. The Federal Reserve is now required, as of early this week, by the U.S. Supreme Court, which rejected an industry appeal. The Federal Reserve is now required to disclose the details of emergency loans it made to banks in 2008. So let me just read you a couple of quotes from the Bloomberg article. There's a blog post up on the blog if you're interested. The records were originally requested under the Freedom of Information Act, which allows citizen access to government papers, by the late Bloomberg News reporter Mark Pittman. As you can remember, Mark was one of our heroes last year. As the financial crisis developed in 2007, the Federal Reserve, and this is a quote from the Matthew Winkler, editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, as the financial crisis developed in 2007, the Federal Reserve forgot that it is the central bank for the people of the United States and not a private academy where decisions of great importance may be withheld from public scrutiny, said Matthew Winkler, editor-in-chief of the Bloomberg News. The Fed must be accountable to Congress, especially in disclosing what it does with people's money. The Clearinghouse Association contended that Bloomberg is seeking an unprecedented disclosure that might dissuade banks from accepting emergency loans in the future. Well, whoever thought that we would see Bloomberg emerge as the enforcement arm for fundamental good government in the United States. It just goes to show you never know, but big kudos to Mark Pittman, who died unexpectedly. That story's up on the blog, and to Bloomberg for continuing the suit. It's interesting because these disclosures will come on top of Buffett's disclosures. As Buffett basically disclosed his potential profits, he's pulling his investment out of Goldman Sachs, or I should say realizing it. As he pointed out his profits, he then had to essentially disclose part of the profits that Goldman made on TARP. And you kind of look at the arrogance of the story, and it just makes you shake your head. We're watching as Buffett is talking about this rumor circulating that Lloyd Blankfein, chairman of Goldman Sachs, is is planning on stepping down from his chairmanship, and I think the Buffett getting his money out and the possibility of Blankfein stepping out of the chairman's office, which is likely, is an interesting comparison. It wouldn't, or alignment, it wouldn't surprise me if Buffett had supported and kept Blankfein in through the troubles to make sure he got his money out with a nice profit. Meantime, the dollar continues to fall. Part of the challenge is the unwinding of yen carry trade, people covering their positions as a result of what's happening in Japan. Now, a falling dollar is good for some American exports. It's bad for household prices, anything that's coming from abroad. So households are getting squeezed. The critical issue, the dollar's down from 81, or the U.S. dollar index is down from 81 through 76 so far this year. It was a bit up today, but it's clearly at a critical point for support. And there are some pundits who are predicting that if it doesn't get support at this level, we could see an enormous big drop and spiral down. So U.S. dollar index is worth watching because more will be revealed there. It's interesting, if you look at the percentage of international transactions which are denominated in the dollars versus other currencies, the dollar is clearly losing market share. So it's in a managed fall, and it's interesting, if you go back and watch my video, I gave a presentation in Mill Valley in 2004 called Navigate the Falling Dollar. And if you go back and watch it, there's, you know, it's in a funny kind of way, there's no new news. We are in a long-term managed fall, and that's why it's very important that we all prepare and position ourselves to deal with what I call the slow burn. Ask Catherine. As I said last week, I got a wonderful question about the Zurich Canton Bank. I'm still researching it, and we'll report. I'd hope to have a report this week, but it's going to take more research, so I will have a report, the Precious Metals Market Report, in the second week of April. Feedback on Janine Roth. We had a wonderful interview with Janine Roth last week on her new book, Lost and Found. She's out on the talk circuit now, and I expect it's going to be very popular. Several people either emailed me or called me or had a chance to talk to them in a variety of contexts. And what I heard again and again was how much they had gotten from it and how much more confidence they were realizing in sort of finding their voice about insisting that they learn and understand about the money around them and not feel cowed by experts or other people who didn't want them to get that mastery on their own. And, it was very good feedback because so many of us struggle with those kinds of feelings, and it's very, very important that we build our immunity to financial fraud, and we can only do that if we insist on understanding where our money's going and what it's doing and how it works and feel some personal confidence in our own intellectual mastery and good sense. Because what I found is the best protection against anything fraudulent is if you don't feel comfortable. If something's wrong, your intuition will feel it. So even if you're not an expert, you just need to push. And I'm hoping that Janine's that discussion can really help you get your confidence on insisting that you need to understand. A question I've gotten this week from subscribers, but many others, is can the slow burn continue? We're seeing, particularly with what happened in Japan and the fall in the dollar, tremendous sort of discussion on the internet and the blogosphere about how we're coming into a hyperinflation or a spiral down or a crash in the markets, and there's no doubt that the possibility of sort of violent swings is really with us. I want to take you back to what I said at the beginning of the year in our wrap-up when I said my scenarios for the year for planning purposes, and I have three scenarios that I use for planning purposes. The first is a continued slow burn, so incomes continue to slowly fall, expenses continue to rise, and households get squeezed. And I give that 70%. Now, it can accelerate. It can get much meaner as more and more people, as the slow burn eats through the fat, you can see, for example, more crime in neighborhoods, more dysfunction, more problems, more implosion, organizations going down, and you can get big shifts at different points as the slow burn eats through the fat and starts to eat through the muscle. But I gave it the slow burn 70% chance, 20 to 25% of another 2008, which is we get a real spiral down in trade or the financial markets, a real seizing up of liquidity, really as a result of the same as 2008 of economic warfare. So the World War III breaks out a little bit more overtly in the open, and we get a real spiral down as we did in 2008. And then 5% chance of collapse. I'm not a big believer in the collapse scenario. My favorite quote is from Franklin Sanders, and you've heard me say this many times. The day it said, what I try and impress on people who are anticipating the end of the world is the day after the end of the world, somebody's going to wake up wanting breakfast, and somebody's going to want make money cooking them for it. So don't. The future is something we build. Don't plan on collapse. Prepare for it so you don't have to worry about it. But I think yes, the slow burn can continue. Ultimately, that is a military question, not a financial question. And so if you're interested in those risks, then I think you need to. And we're going to do more on this in the second quarter. We're going to focus on what are the military questions. You know, it's not disconnected from why we're in Libya and Iraq and a whole lot of other places. The other thing I said at the beginning of the year, both in the wrap-up and in our first precious metals market report, is I think there's about a 70% chance of a major correction. That's in precious metals and equities. Well, it's in asset values across the board. So we're going to have a temporary reset of tangibles down. It's a normal correction. What we're seeing in the precious metals market is there's a lot more support for precious metals. The bond market is huge. The precious metals market is tiny. So every time the precious metals start to correct, there's money coming in. You know, I still think there's a good chance of a correction, and it hasn't come as soon as I thought. It may come later. 30% chance we don't get a correction. We just keep skyrocketing up. And the reason that could happen is one, in part, because of the economic warfare supporting oil and gas, commodities, tangibles. But in addition, we have unprecedented printing, not just by the Federal Reserve, but now by the G7 central banks globally. And if you look at how fast they're printing, that's a lot of falling fiat currency, and it's going to hold the prices up when denominated in fiat currency. Let's talk about heroes. Our hero of last week was the Fukushima 50, which is now up to approximately 300 or so technicians and engineers who are working to mitigate and end the nuclear disaster in Fukushima. They're still doing so. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that pressure cooker. And God bless them, because they are standing between us and the abyss. If you want to understand how small the world is, just realize that what these people are doing for you and your family, it's quite extraordinary. So just please keep them in your thoughts and your prayers and meditations, because we need to do everything we can to support them. Our hero of this week, not surprisingly, is our guest, Dr. Gwynne Scott. And one of the reasons I started the Solari Report is I wanted to make sure that the people who I felt were the real leaders who we could trust and depend on in critical areas of our life got heard from. And she is truly one of my heroes. And I want to talk, I haven't gotten this question, but I've been expecting it. I've been expecting a subscriber to write and say, well, you know, your whole shtick is money. How come you keep talking about health? And I want to explain that. I haven't gotten the question, but I want to explain it. Nicholas Negroponte, when he was head of the MIT Media Lab, said that data about money is more important than money. And that's because in a digital age, or in the kind of economy and kind of world we're in, the guy who wins in the marketplace is the guy who has intelligence. It's the guy it's the person who has the knowledge they need to understand what is going on and take action. And again, the way I was trained on Wall Street, and certainly in Washington, was intelligence, and good intelligence was everything. And even in a world full of uncertainty where you couldn't know what was going on, 3% knowledge, you know, made you a millionaire up when the market was full of people with 2% knowledge. Now, since my focus is on money, why do I keep talking about health? Because the way you steal somebody's money, the way you get their money, is first you steal their mind, or you steal their body. You give them false maps of reality. You fill their head with subliminal programming. You encourage them with false fears. And all of those are tricks in the game of economic warfare that help you get control of their economic value, whether it's money or equity or a wide variety of different ways that they can advantage themselves by controlling or tricking you. And I'm not worried. You know, it's funny. I get so many subscribers who say they're worried about them confiscating your gold. I'm not worried that they're going to confiscate your gold. That's not my biggest fear. My biggest fear is they're going to try and trick you and control your mind by tricking you and so persuade you to behave or invest in ways that run counter to your own interests. So there's I can confiscate your gold if I know how to do it by confiscating your mind. And we've seen it many times. I've seen many times where the price is pushed down and the spin comes out to frighten everybody and they sell their gold cheap. And to me, that's a kind of confiscation. Now, if you teach people to be powerful in the face of that which reduces or destroys their power, including making out-of-bounds knowledge accessible to them, that requires more fearlessness than anything. And it requires real courage and real personal power. And Dr. Gwen Scott is one of the best examples I know of someone who does that. She's brimming with intelligence, courage, and real personal power to just say what she has to say with integrity and find solutions with people that are not only effective but which are economic. I mean, there are plenty of solutions if we all are willing to fly to Switzerland and get stem cell therapy, but not everybody has $100,000 to do that. So let me just tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Scott was a highly successful television news anchor for over 30 years, among many other shows and accomplishments. She co-anchored the International Hour on CNN. She had a personal healing crisis early in her life, solved by natural remedies, and that got her interested early on in natural remedies. She became a naturopathic doctor in 2002 and is also a master herbalist. So it's a great, really, privilege and pleasure to welcome Dr. Gwen Scott to the Solari Report. Are you with us?
I am, Catherine. I'm honored to be with you, my lady.
Well, we are going to talk tonight, and I sort of organized some of the material in 10 steps we can take to mitigate the health impact of aerosol spraying, a.k.a. chemtrails. And I thought maybe we could start with one that you and I talked about earlier today, and it was called "See the Miracle, We Are Alive, How Is That Possible?" So maybe if we could start with that. How is it possible?
Yeah, because that's really the truth of the truth.
Yeah.
Before we get into all the alls of what's being done to us, it is a miracle. It's a true miracle. When you begin to understand the insult with malice against humanity on all levels, whether it's food, air, water, whatever, and the scientific community have said to me time and time again, we really shouldn't be still standing.
But we are.
We really shouldn't be.
I know.
With the lack of oxygen and on and on and all the toxic metals coming in and the poisonous food and on it. And yet here we are. So there is miracle, and there's something beyond what we can see or touch or whatever that is supporting us. We have to be deeply grateful for.
Right. And we're amazingly resourceful.
Yeah.
We're just amazingly resourceful. It's funny. You get hit by the evil in one shape or another, and it's kind of like the universe burps out another resource to deal with it. So
every time one window the door closes, the other one opens.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Something unusual and unexpected walks through.
Mm-hmm. I see. I know you see it when helping people with their health and educating them about their health, and I see it with money. It's amazing what, there is a grace in the universe and it is helping us. So I think I think it's important to understand we have that power and we need to, you're right, we need to appreciate it, we need to count on it, we need to use it. if we're gonna mitigate the health impact. Okay, so the second thing I listed was get and stay informed. You want to help us with that? How do we get and stay informed?
It's very important. And maybe all the information isn't going to light you up or make your day, but really and truly, I think that's the most important thing you can do, is to keep abreast of what's going on, particularly for you, your family, your friends, those you love, and for all of humanity, and what you can do to help in these times. I think every human's effort is critical. I think that's really...
You have a couple of articles and videos that are up on the web. If we just do a search for your name, can we find a couple of videos, articles?
Surely you can. Carnicominstitute.com, there's work there. Arizona Skywatch, which is directly related to the aerosol spraying, or popular name, chemtrails. I wrote some papers there. So sure, yeah, go ahead and do that, for sure. But
okay,
well
besides,
beyond me.
Yeah, besides you and Clifford.
I'm sorry, love.
In addition to you and Clifford, is there anybody else you would recommend specifically on the health topic?
I think it gets to be murky out there, because we know that a lot of the, particularly Morgellons, which is associated with chemtrail, websites are PSYOP, and they've been infiltrated. So you really have to go back to what you were saying earlier, Catherine, about with the money situation. I think all these rules apply to everything, is your instinct. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there selling all kinds of junk for people to stay healthy, and usually lots of money, and on and on and on, and half the time it doesn't work. So you're going to have to really use that divine knowingness. I call it the inner physician, and really pick through it, because it's murky waters that way.
Yeah, no, that's
true. But
you
can certainly depend on Clifford Carnicom and his work as being sound.
Well, I don't feel so bad now, because I listen to you and I listen to Clifford, and then I listen to you and Clifford, and then, you know, and I kind of go around and round, and that's it. So I don't feel so bad now. Okay, number three, eat well and access natural remedies.
It's just a no-brainer. Your body repairs, detoxifies, and rebuilds using the nutrients or nutritional value of the foods you eat. And I know it's getting harder and harder because our conventional food chain is so denurtured and chemicalized and poisoned, really. So then you say, okay, I'm going to go to organics. But now they're messing with that, Senate Bill 510, where they're trying to outlaw even good old organics, and we have to fight for sure for that, to at least try to keep our ability to grow our own, and the local organic farmers to grow their own organic foods. But good whole pure foods is a no-brainer. How you prepare it, shut the microwave up, you know, tape it, make it a pasta storage cabinet, I don't care what you do. It just destroys food, makes people fat. Everybody's so happy when they close the thing up, they lose 15, 20 pounds, they can't understand why. Go back to cooking the old-fashioned way. Be conscious of the water that you're drinking. Anything going into your body is either going to enhance its ability to be well or not. And so you have to go back to Hippocrates and think of food as your remedy. Your remedy is food. He talked about food as medicine, and in truth, that's what it is.
I'll never forget the first time I heard your name was when I was watching Aerosol Crimes, and there's a little piece at the end where you talk about what you can do. Do you remember?
That's a while back. I did that.
I know,
yeah,
it was a while back.
Do.
And I was stunned. I was like, I grabbed a pad, and I started writing everything down. I could do this. I could do this. And I said, I love this woman. I've got to find more. So I did a search, and you filmed a couple of interviews with Clifford where you're talking about different aspects of the health impact. So I got that, and I said, well, I got to get more of this. So I did a search and found your website, and I ordered your DVD, which I think is one of the great household reference materials on the planet. And
thank you.
I really want you to describe.
Thank you.
I couldn't believe I sat and I, you know, it's very rare that I watch three DVDs and take notes the whole time. Because it's really chock full of nuts. But if you could just describe what your DVD is and how to use it.
Okay, very briefly. It's basically about 40 years of what I call treasure hunting, going into mostly indigenous, but all the old healers had all this information that was lost and nobody really wanted to know, but I did, and they were so generous and open-hearted with me. So it's old stuff, but it's stuff that works, and that we've been sort of controlled to forget. And what I did is, I mean, it's over 4 hours, so I thought, okay, what do I do here? And I broke it into 7 segments, emergency remedies, the most common emergencies around your house, burns, cuts, broken bones, all kinds of things. What do you do? What do you do right away that you have available in your home to remedy these things? And even if you are transported, to mitigate the damage. I think of all the segments, and it's the first one, that's the most valuable. I've gotten so much feedback on that one. It's unreal of people telling me all the things, and it makes my heart sink. The second one is to help people. It's called designer supplements, and all these pills and bottles and jars in the health store that cost $30, $40, where those things come from? I mean, where's the natural source? And how can you go ahead and find it predominantly in your food chain without spending all that money? And it's probably much more alive and vibrant. The third segment is kitchen remedies. That's just what medicine, like very briefly, horseradish. People don't even realize horseradish, you know, everybody talks about ulcers as being stress-related. Well, now we know. No, it was actually a bacterium for the most part called E. pylori. Horseradish kills it on contact. Pretty amazing. So it's that kind of thing. Five is spices. How do you use them as medicine? Four and five is teas. How do you use teas as medicine? And then in the sixth segment, which I think is the second most valuable, how do you make your own extracts? How do you make your own capsules and broths and things? And in the days ahead, that might become very valuable because they're really trying to shut all that down and keep it unavailable to us. So you need
and
to know how to...
And one of the things, you really kind of turn your kitchen into a hospital. In other words, you know... And,
yeah,
and
it is,
things.
Though. That's where all your good medicine really is in the end.
Yeah.
It can be if you've got your kitchen right.
The other thing I really enjoyed about it is you're focused on making everything economic. So you understand the role of, you know, all... Natural remedies are wonderful, but if they're not economic, we won't be able to really use them.
Right.
So.
Well, it shouldn't be. You know, medicine is sacred. It was never meant to be a moneymaker. It's like
right.
teaching. There are certain things. You want to go sell cars. That's cool. You know, make money. Or at Wall Street. Or, make money. But there are certain things that fall into the sacred, and
right.
medicine is one of them. And so it should be available to everyone and affordable to everyone. So that is a criteria of what I do. So that's that, Natural Medicine, A Survivor's Guide, and it's really from my heart.
And you can get it on your website. Could you just give your URL?
Beg your pardon?
Could you just give your URL?
Okay.
The web address.
Okay. She knows I'm not technological. okay. It's Gwen Scott, N as in Nancy, D as in David.com. Naturopathic
okay.
doctor,
okay.
GwenScottND.com.
Okay, so the next thing that we can do to mitigate the health impacts, and you said this to me today when I said, what is the number one most important thing we have to do? Do you remember?
Yeah, and we talked about diet and whatever, and then you said, well, what about? And I said, no, I think we have to go to toxic metals.
Yes.
And we need to get those toxic metals. And I know you had Clifford, and you spoke with Clifford Carnicom for quite a while, and I'm sure everybody who heard that knows that we are receiving through our air supply tons, and I do mean tons, millions of tons, of very fine submicroscopic particulate toxic metals, aluminum, barium, strontium, now most recently mercury, nickel, arsenic. These things are so small that with every breath you take, they're going into your lungs and Everything you breathe in is systemic or system-wide in less than a minute. And we're seeing the consequence. Alzheimer's, we know, is a plaque caused by aluminum and fluoride combined, causes the plaque in the brain that gives people Alzheimer's, dementia, those kinds of things. So it's through the roof. And no explanation for that. Why all of a sudden? Well, we know because our air supply is just loaded. I've been told 70 to 75% of these chemtrails or aerosol sprays are aluminum, fine particulate aluminum. And then we have barium, which the National Institute of Health, go figure, under a paper, I don't know if it's still up, called barium intoxication, relates barium ingesting, barium to MS, Parkinson's and others, but primarily MS, saying that barium destroys the myelin sheath, punches holes in it, which is what causes MS. And then they go on to talk about, believe it or not, Clifford brought me this paper. He said, isn't it amazing? They don't talk to each other. Talk about, they go on to talk about the military spraying barium in the air supply for enhanced radar, and they go on and on. In other words, aerosol spraying or chemtrails, which all other government agencies have denied that that's even occurring. So it's kind of interesting that that happened. Bottom line is we need to get them out, and we need right. to get them out on a daily basis. We can't look at something like, oh, twice a year. We'll try to do a heavy metal or toxic metal detox because these things with every breath we take are coming in. And I was blessed to meet and work with a research doctor whose whole focus for a number of years was just that, detoxing heavy metals. And he found this one thing, pennies a day, available to everyone, that when they took it internally every day, and he was able to check hair, skin, blood, and he also had access to an atomic microscope, so he could really check and make sure that it was doing the job. And he found this one thing. Now, there are a lot of this one thing out there, and it's called diatomaceous earth. However, with that said, many of the forms that he assayed were already polluted. In other words, they were doing their job. They were from the land source or the ocean. Over the years, they had been accumulating and collecting metals and other toxins, so no good. You're stealing from Peter to pay Paul. But he found one by a company named PermaGuard, PermaGuard.com, in Utah, and they sell it as fossil shell flour, and they sell it to the food industry. It's food grade, and he found, his name is Dr. Galen Knight, he found that if you took approximately, for every adult, approximately, 1 tablespoon a day in distilled water on an empty stomach, that it was able to attract and bind these toxic metals and pull them from the system. So he brought that to me even before I had any awareness, this is maybe 15 years ago, of chemtrails. So, of course, that's how the divine universe works, brought it to me before I really thought I needed it. But that's a big concern, these heavy metals.
Interesting. We have a question from a subscriber, came in by the web. Good evening, Dr. Scott. I live on the East Coast. I was tested last fall with very high blood levels of barium and aluminum. I take roughly a tablespoon of, now you have to help me pronounce this, diatomaceous earth and water every morning on an empty stomach. Though I've yet to be retested, I do feel much better. Question is, do you see any adverse health effects of continually daily cleansing with this?
You know, I asked Dr. Knight that because that is a concern when you do something chronically like that. You know, what happens down the road? Well, as it turns out, it's probably 70-75% silica, which every cell in your body, bones, hair, skin, teeth, everything uses. The only negative that he found was if people took it anywhere near, say, a very iron-rich meal, like a spinach salad or something, The diatomaceous earth doesn't know the difference between the metals that we need, say iron, trace copper, and those which are harmful, aluminum, barium, and such. So it's really important to keep it away, and it sounds like this person who wrote you is keeping it away from food. The other really important thing is that you make sure that the diatomaceous earth that they're taking is actually a pure. And there are many sold now, sad to say, in health stores that when Dr. Knight assayed them, found that they were polluted with aluminum or something else.
You just need to be careful.
So you need, and the one that he found to be the purest was this one, at least now, I mean, we never know, but was the Permagard fossil shell flour.
Right, and you can just buy it online. It's
yeah.
not expensive.
No, it's pennies a day.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, and then it has many, many other benefits. If you have any parasite in your colon, it kills them, and I can go on and on. There's lots of other benefits, but in truth, for our purposes, we need these toxic metals out of our system. It's critical.
Right. Right. I was really struck because I've been, as I told you, I've been detoxing heavy metals for quite some time, and I was astonished. I do a test every year, so I don't have the test for the end of 2010 yet. I'll get it this week. But when I tested at the end of 2009, I was amazed to see, having been detoxing all year long, that the aluminum and barium had gone up.
Yeah, well, see, so has the operations, you know, no matter who I talk to worldwide, but particularly in the United States, will tell you, who have been aware and kind of observing the amount and count of chemtrail, have said at least double and maybe triple. And I can assure you where I live, that is true. They are out all night long and all day long. What used to be very deep azure blue skies, we have no industry here and very few humans, are now white or
right.
maybe pale robin egg blue, if you're lucky. So the saturation is huge. And so you, as you would expect and as they will expect, with the increased saturation, the more that's being taken into the body.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the next one was to detox fungus and the fibers.
Okay, well, the fibers, let's put them aside for a minute because they're the most curious and unusual. And so let's go to the fungus. Now, the fungus also does not meet, Dr. Knight and many others have told me, the normal fungal criteria. In other words, it's been tweaked. In fact, I've been told under an atomic microscope, it's observable. Now, this is really kind of sci-fi. This fungal, created fungus, will collect these heavy metals, which are shaped like little swords, and line their cell wall with them. And then when an immune responder comes, because obviously this fungus is not good for the body, stabs the immune responder with these little heavy metal swords, and the immune responder dies in 30 seconds. I mean, pretty astounding. Yeah, that's why what I've always said all along with the chemtrail situation, they're laying a matrix in us, and you have to you can't say, okay, do this, do that. No, what you have to do is dismantle it. It's symbiotic. It's synergistic. And all these elements work together. So what you have to do is one by one by one discover what they are and then remove them so they can't talk to each other. So that's why it's very important, beyond what you and I were discussing about, you know, mental acuity and whatever, to get these metals out, because you disarm the fungus. Now, the fungus I found to be very tenacious. However, if you follow a diet that's directed at Candida, that's the first step, which is a more normal fungus, but still in all, lack of sugars, lots of garlic, on and on. Follow the Candida diets. They're everywhere. You can read up and educate yourself. But beyond that, I personally have found that the Miracle 2 soap and neutralizer have been profoundly effective in knocking that back.
Every time you say that, I'm so happy because I love Miracle 2 soap.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
It really is wonderful.
And the neutralizer, which is an internal application.
Yeah.
Now, going to the fibers, or filaments, as Clifford would present them, and Dr. Castle would say pseudo-life forms, they're the most curious because they, I've looked at these guys under a microscope and studied up on them, and I've been sitting with them for years now, day after day, and they still confound me. But we do know certain things about them. They are not really organic. However, they do have mobility. They do seem to have a low-level intelligence. They don't seem to have any organs of any shape or size that you can see under very high magnification. They have an internal filament that's fully loaded with all kind of pathogen that nobody has really been able to, with many, many efforts, to totally identify, but not good for the human. Down their internal, they have a filament internally. Externally, they seem to be constructed of some kind of polymer, crystalline, or semi-organic polymer, perhaps squalene. No one's totally sure. And they build
their
bodies that
way. It's almost like a rubber bug.
Pardon?
It's almost like a rubber bug.
A rubber bug.
A microscopic rubber bug.
I have a client who calls them varmints. I like the disrespect with that. Anyway, yeah, they really are. Rubber bug is probably a good way of describing them. But they can be pretty malicious. Anyway, they seem to be, according to Clifford's work, in everybody's body. Some people... body says, I don't want this, and throw them out, and then you get the Morgellons disease syndrome where you have sores and fibers and whatever coming out. He has definitely matched them, Clifford has, to the fibers being delivered to us environmentally. So they're all one and the same. And I'm sad to say, in animals and all of life form that breathe are infected. And they are really curious. They're magnetic, which is very curious. But the good news is, if you can get a hold of some organic purple grape, purple is important, you want the skin, Concord grape, either in juice form or organic red wine, they seem to be attracted very much to it. And they will follow it out of your system.
So you can literally gargle and spit them out through your mouth.
Well, now that's a different thing. That's a test that people can do, swishing the purple grape in your mouth and then spitting into either a white bowl or a white sink. You can see the fibers. So many people say to me, well, I don't have this problem. And then I have them do that, and they go, oops, I do. Rinse your mouth thoroughly afterwards, scrape your tongue. This is not, if you do this as a therapy, meaning every day, you very well could lose your dental work and your teeth. So this is more of a test. But I'm talking in terms of drinking, that they will follow it out through your colon.
If I have organic red wine for dinner every night, a little bit.
Excellent. Excellent.
I can poop them out.
It'll help.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I needed more wine.
And it's interesting, after I presented that, somebody called me and said, did you know there's a cancer therapy that's just a grape juice fast? I found that fascinating. I'd never heard of that. But all roads lead to Rome in the end, and we have a lot of medical issues coming out of this whole chemtrail matrix. But that's a simple, easy way to begin to encourage the body. Now, I would say there is a PS around this. A lot of the mainstream, Welch's and Trader Joe's, are saying that they're presenting organic grape juice, purple grape juice, organic Concord, and it's not. When I test
right.
it and I have ways, it's not. So right now, Knudsen, just Concord, which you can find in the health store, seems to be holding up. But we don't know how long because they've been bought out. So you're just going to have to. It'd be nice to know somebody who owns a vinery, and you could just be sure that you're getting what you're supposed to be getting.
Right.
But that's sort of a simple way to try to encourage these pseudo-life forms or fibers or filaments, whatever you want to call them, that we know now are in everybody, out of your system.
Okay. Now, the next one, number six, was reduce the dirty electricity and the EMF
manipulation
around you. Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Because most people do not want to give up their computer, do not want to give up their TV, do not want to give up their cell phone. In fact, I call all of these things, although here we are, Catherine, only because of it. But then if there weren't those things, then we wouldn't have to be talking about this. So it gets to be a kind of a strange little circle. But, because most of what we've been talking about is all a frequency-based system, and they all are encouraged and organized and emboldened by frequencies, which these Trojan horses, which we've been so happy to bring into our lives, are the vehicle, along with the cell towers. I think it's kind of funny, because everybody I know has a cell phone. They can never get a signal, but every 20 feet, you're stubbing your toe on a cell tower.
Right.
I mean, does anybody not ask why if we have all these and they're more going up every day, we should have great signals?
Right.
Well, because most of them are not dedicated to that work.
You know,
I
don't think I've ever told anybody until I told you earlier. Some guy who worked for the CIA approached me many years ago and tried to persuade me that one of the purposes of chemtrails was to create, get this junk in your body, and it would create a pattern that they could read like a barcode, and that this would dovetail with the cell tower network so they could track everybody. And this was the equivalent of the, chipping everybody, but in an organic way. Now, I never said anything because I don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. But the more, the more we kind of look at the evidence that's emerging,
it
makes
you
wonder.
Yeah, he may have been telling you the truth. But beyond Well, I mean, we are frequency-based beings.
Right.
I mean, all you have to do is be sitting at a red light with some kid next door with all of his windows down doing some heavy-duty rap number, and what happens to you? You start to get like, whoa.
Yeah, you start to get jacked up.
You get uncomfortable. It's like, turn that thing down, move on, close your windows. That's a frequency. We
right.
are frequency-based beings. And when you start to manipulate that frequency in our bodies, you begin to control your sleep, everything, you name it. And we were
right.
talking earlier today, Catherine, one of the frequencies frequently being thrown at us is exactly our sleep center, which is why sleeplessness is so epidemic in this country right now.
Right. Right, and I'll tell you, if you load somebody up with aluminum in a way that affects their ability to think and process, and you ruin
right.
their sleep, it's a lot easier to steal their money.
Absolutely. You can steal anything you want from them because they're barely able to find the, the towel in the kitchen or whatever.
Right. Okay,
that's
well, number
sad fact.
Let's keep...
It's turning people into zombies.
Yes. I know. I agree. Number eight, stay alkaline.
Very important. We've always known that. That's always been a basic principle of natural medicine, that all pathogen, all disease thrives in an acidic environment and does not prosper in an alkaline environment. And they say, well, how do you do that? Well, you stay away from highly acidic foods. That's generally speaking what creates that environment. With that said, the paradigm has shifted a little bit, and there's situations in our body being created outside of us, but be that as it may, being very moderate, if you are a meat eater, moderate with your meat protein, and eating a lot of fruits and vegetables will create an alkaline environment. On
right.
and on. This is old,
fresh,
basic
fresh food.
Old, basic rules for health. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now let me interrupt for one more question. Our subscriber asked the question about, I can't ever say it, diatomaceous earth, came back with a comment that said, thank you, I do use PermaGuard.
Oh.
So that, isn't that wonderful?
Excellent.
That's good news. And then
Excellent.
He came back and says, does the wine absolutely need to be organic for the effect to work?
No, it doesn't. I don't think. We're just talking about strength. I've tried, say, just plain purple grape juice in terms of, because I use, as does Clifford Carnicom, the samples from my mouth as my cultures and what I go under the microscope with sometimes and on. And it's just a matter of count and amount. The stronger, the thicker, the more rich, the more real the grape juice, the better result you're going to get. With that said, some of the conventional, I tested every one of them out there, were so denatured and so full of sugar and so many additives that they produced nothing when I used them as a mouthwash swish. So we try to do the organic as best we can because it's the strongest and the best.
Right.
But
so you're really looking for something with high vitality content.
Always.
Okay. Well, I'm dragging this out. So let me go quickly. The take precaution number 9. Take precautions outside.
Mask.
Now I bought the masks, but especially when I go bike riding, I have to learn to wear them.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you. You can get those high end. You know, they do everything but filter out. You know, your very breath itself. And they're very uncomfortable, and there's a strap across the back of your head, and blah, 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 blah. No one's going to do that. But you were talking about mitigation. You can go to Walgreens or whatever, and they have loop, you know, ear loop masks, very light, very comfortable. No, they're not going to filter out everything, but they will mitigate. They will mitigate. So if it's real foggy out, you know, real chemtrail-y, and you're going to be out in the garden or whatever, working for a couple of hours, they're light and they will help. But, you know, really, in the end, Catherine, what in the world are we doing? They need to stop.
Right.
They need to stop. That's where our real focus should be, is to shut them down. Of course, then it's a question of how do you do that.
Well, it's very simple. You cut off their money.
Really? Yeah, you're right. If you could do
it's a lot easier to cut off their money than it is to stop them.
Yeah, I know that.
So
I know that. You and I talked about a 10% if everybody. God,
well, to me,
like
I think one if you pray, because we still can resonate together and we're still powerful. If everybody prays, you know, that they should reconnect with their heart, and we cut off their money at the same time, then I think you've got a working strategy. Let me keep going.
I really like that, Catherine. I do, because Congress seems, well, Kucinich did try to introduce a chemtrail clause in one of his bills, and they yanked him right away, and it disappeared. You know, they're obviously on a shutdown on this. But as somebody, a Dr. Lorraine pointed out, a friend of mine, even if they did stop today, because of all of the millions of tons, we'd still have lots of problems to clean up.
Right. The cleanup would not be insignificant.
I mean, all of our water, our ground, our bodies. I mean, look at Clifford Carnicom's work. These materials are in everyone.
Right. It's
so
everywhere.
We'd still be about the work of trying to remove, but still in all, we should never forget, we should tell them, we have a right as human beings to a breathable, healthy air supply.
Right. Okay, number 10, respond to the situation, not the symptoms. And this gets, again, to the issue of Morgellons, which is really a symptom of a situation that we're all in. It's not just a few. So
yeah, and they worked really hard to throw that red herring out there.
Right.
Oh, well, yes, all right, there is something called Morgellons disease, and maybe 35 or 40,000 people have it, and try to isolate these people. But the truth of it is, we know, thank God, bless his heart, Clifford Carnicom has shown us these materials that are coming out of these people are, in fact, in everyone.
Right. And in fact, I should say, there are Clifford just published two pieces that I put up in the blog. There, if you do a search for Clifford Carnicom, you'll pull them up. And if you didn't listen to the interviews we did with Clifford last year in the Solari Report, I really encourage you to go back in the archives and listen to them. And we did a two-hour special and made a transcript. And it's just, it's an incredible piece of work. I mean, Clifford's amazing. So anyway, so I just, before we close off our 10 items, there, you know, that's 10 things that we can do. There's a lot we can do. But I'd like to just, before we go on, just remember the number one one, which is appreciate the miracle.
Right.
Because when you look at all of this that we've been struggling with, it's amazing we're all in as good health as we are.
It's true.
That speaks to a power that we have.
Yes. And a power beyond us.
Okay, well, as I said before, you are my hero. So how do
No, Catherine, you're mine. You're mine. I can't stop talking about you. I think you're just incredible.
So how do we
You're a very brave, beautiful spirit, Catherine. God bless you.
From you, that is the highest of compliments. Now, how do we stay in touch with you? How do we access your work? How can we interact with you? You covered it. We can. You have a website.
And I'll
we
be back and talk to you anytime you want, Miss Catherine.
Okay, I'm definitely getting you back. We can... access the DVD, and just a second to the subscribers, this DVD really is, you know, it's one of those, it's just like an encyclopedia. You want it as a reference book in your house. It's really remarkable. And so there's the DVD. You also do consultations, am I not correct? And we can learn more about that at your website.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, well, Dr. Scott, you're a phenomena.
Many blessings to you, Ms.
Many blessings to you.
Okay,
let's go to the movies. A wonderful subscriber recommended The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, and I was able to get it and watch it. It's a 1992 thriller made in America, set in America, about a vengeful nanny who tries to destroy the mother and wife of a family and literally steal her kids and husband. It's, you know, the nanny goes into a remarkably wholesome family who literally cannot fathom why the things that are going wrong. She's so insidious. And it's a wonderful metaphor for what we're all dealing with, because we are living in a world where there are, you know, there are people and forces who are literally doing things that I can only describe, and after you listen to what sort of in chemtrails and what it does to our body, as really psychotic, who are doing things that are harming us, they're killing us, they're taking our money. And, you know, part of Real Solutions is facing that it's going on and seeing the insidiousness of the force. I have often talked about a book called Political Ponerology. If you do a search on the blog, you'll find a commentary where I reviewed it. And it's a story of a gentleman who studied, who lived through both the Nazis and the Stalin, and made it his life's work to study the impact of evil on a society when it works through the political mechanism. And one of the things he discovered is most people couldn't fathom that there were psychotics among them who had organized to do them harm. However, when they finally understood that, they were able to literally shift tremendously and come back to a much more healthy place mentally and emotionally and deal with it much more effectively. And The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is kind of an interesting story of how evil, insidious evil, can tear a situation apart and people literally can't see it, but once they do, they can take effective action. So a little bit gruesome to watch and kind of depressing in some ways, but it's not an unreasonable metaphor for dealing with chemtrails. Okay, closing. Next week is our week with no Solari Report, and then April 7th, the first quarter wrap-up. I really encourage you to go to your control panel and read the transcript, very graphical, very beautifully done, we did of the year-end wrap-up. So in a way, this is going to be a bring down, and please send your suggestions if you want me to cover. I'm going to be updating on all the trends we covered in the year-end wrap-up and the big events of the last quarter and look ahead to the next. April 14th, Precious Metals with Franklin Sanders. And on April 21st, Blake Leavitt has agreed to be back. Beware the smart grid. We had a great question when we did electromagnetic fields, but this time we're just going to focus on smart grid. It's a big issue that people in California are struggling with, but it's coming our way. And I think it's very, very important that we understand it and be prepared to deal with it. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember, until we meet again on April 7th, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Good night and good luck.